The scripture reading before today's sermon, or this morning's sermon rather, will be coming from the book of Psalm, chapter 41 and verse 9. That's the book of Psalm, chapter 41 and verse 9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me.
Good morning. The scripture you just heard relates to John chapter 13, verse 16, where Jesus is saying, "Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted. We ate together, in whom we ate bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Or in other words, this friend, he drew me close to him, and this friend stabbed me in the back. Do you remember the song? A lot of older people might know this song. They smile in your face, but every time they want to take your place, backstabbers. They make songs today that sound just like it. It's repeat. See, it gives an image of a fake friend showing fake love. And this friend draws you in close to him. And then when you turn around, he belittles you. He belittles your talents. He belittles your accomplishments. But deep down inside, he does these things because he envies you. For example, in Genesis chapter 25, verse 31, Esau, you know, Esau and Jacob, they were brothers. Esau was hungry. He said, "I'm very hungry." His brother Jacob said, "Well, look, I'll give you some food," because Jacob could cook. He said, "I'll give you some food, but you got to give me some in exchange." He said, "Well, what's the deal?" He said, "Well, look, if you give me your birthright, the inheritance, because you're the oldest, the inheritance that our father Isaac will give us, give you, because you're the oldest, give that to me and you can get this food." Well, eventually, I don't think Esau thought highly of his father's inheritance, because he says, "I'm getting ready to die if I don't eat." And hear me out what he said. "What profit does this birthright means to me?" So Isaac blessed Jacob, and he gives Jacob the blessings and inheritance, but Esau became very envious. He went to his father. He said, "Father, I'm your son too. Can I have some of the birthright?" But Esau, he said, "Esau, look, you made a deal." Esau became envious of Jacob. He schemed behind Jacob's back to trap him and kill him. In Genesis 27:41, Esau told Jacob, "When daddy die, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you." He said this to his own brother. Now Jacob grew old and he had 12 sons of his own. He had this one son in particular named Joseph, and Joseph was a good boy. The other brothers thought he was a good, later called him good at two shoes, but anytime that the brothers would get out of line or they're not feeding the sheep, he would go report to his father, "Look, Dad, they're not feeding the sheep." And you know what happened? His brothers became envious of him and jealous of him. And in Genesis 37:4, they wanted to kill him. Now, these are his very own brothers. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 10, there was a huge giant named Goliath. We all know the story. Goliath said, "This day I will destroy Israel. Is there any man out there that will stop me?" The king of that time of Israel was Saul. He was scared, was shaking in his boots. All of the men, the vicious men in the army, they were scared because he was a giant. But a little boy, a little shepherd boy named David, he raised his hand and said, "I'll fight you." And he actually said, "This day, God will deliver your head into my hand." A little shepherd boy. And that's what he did. He defeated Goliath. Everyone was amazed. All of the people grabbed David. They couldn't believe it. This little boy. They lift him up on their shoulders. They praised him. Everybody was excited except Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9, hear me out. It reads, "King Saul eyed David from that day forth. He eyed him with the eyes of jealousy." And David didn't even know it. All David did was save Israel. He didn't know that this is the king. He stood at the king's feet. He played instruments for him to comfort him. But yet and still, he eyed David. He was jealous. He was getting too much attention. So what he did, he became salty with David. And Saul, he lured David in with his family. And his son Jonathan became close with him. And he ate with the family. So when David turned his back, Saul went and grabbed a spear. And he threw this spear toward David. David ducked. He grabbed another spear, Saul, and he threw another spear toward David. David fled, he fled out of the house, and he hid himself. Saul became very jealous and full of envy, and he wanted to kill David for doing that which was right. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would God put these stories in the Bible? Why would he mention those type things? Maybe these are warnings for us to watch the people that we bring close to us. Maybe he is letting us know that, hey, your friend that you call your friend could stab you in the back. Proverbs 17:17 says, a real friend loves at all times. All times. Well, let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. John chapter 6, verse number 64. John 6, John 6, and verse number 64, and it reads, Jesus says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who shall betray him, and he pretty much, Jesus knows who's phony. He can look right through the smiles. He knows his own. Verse number 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except he be given unto him of the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Many of Jesus' close disciples, his close friends, they were there when he fed the 5,000. They saw him walk on water. They saw him heal a lame man, and that man can walk now. They saw that. But the whole time, they were fake friends showing fake love. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 1, it says, Jesus had over 70 disciples. I found it amazing that they all fled except 12. Now, I have a question for you. I hope there's no one in here today that shows fake love to Christ. People who only come to church when they need somebody to pray for them. People who come in just to get a blessing. And then when they receive the blessing, they remember him no more. They only serve God to get a blessing. Let's pick up and read verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go also away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12? And he said, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that shall betray him, being one of the 12. I find it interesting. Like I said, in Luke 10, it was over 70 disciples. 12 stayed, but Judas was one of the 12. I find that very interesting. He didn't leave, though. So the title of my sermon today is The Fake Love of Judas. Judas is known as the number one backstab in history. The fake love of Judas. Let's turn to John chapter 12. The fake love of Judas. Let's turn to John chapter 12 and see if we can put some ideas together this morning. John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet. I'm sorry, and she wiped his feet and her hair with her hair, and the house was filled with the odors of ointment. The odors of ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which shall betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15 said, beware of false prophets, which come in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. How can we, when we are sheep, but there is somebody in the fold that's a wolf, how can we identify a wolf? Well, Matthew 15:18 says, the words that proceed out of their mouth come from their heart. So just listen to them. Let them talk. Eventually, they would expose themselves, just like Judah. He opened his mouth and he exposed that he was a thief. He was more worried about the money, because if we pick back up and read verse number 6, this he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money. He had the bag and bread that was put in. So maybe he wanted to cut. But sometimes all you got to do is listen. People will identify themselves. He didn't care about the woman. He didn't care about the feet of Jesus. All he cared about was the money. Let's turn to Luke chapter 7, verse number 37. Luke 7, verse number 37. Luke 7, verse number 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box full of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And now the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. He spoke within himself, saying, this woman, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is to touch him, for she is a sinner. Let's drop down to verse number 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, because Jesus picked up, he know what people are thinking. He said unto Simon, see, this woman, I enter into thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. But this is what the verse that really speaks to me, right, when he says this. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. That speaks to me. See, Jesus knows real love. He is observing. Even us today, he knows who loves him. He can look at our worship. See, it said when someone is forgiven, had much sins and have been forgiven for much sins, they love more. You might see somebody in a corner crying. You don't know what's wrong with him. Nothing is wrong. Maybe for the first time, everything is right. Maybe you are a person who you didn't have a lot of sins and you only love just a little bit. But that spoke to me. This woman put her every emotion into serving the Lord at that time. That's real love. She remembered her past. She remembered the times when she was down in the dumps, but God lifted her up, placed her on high. She remembered those days when men walked over her, when she was a sinner, like this Pharisee said. They cared nothing about her, and God put her in a position now where she's in the Hall of Fame. She's in the Word of God now. God placed her high, and she used every emotion in her to serve her Lord. So, how can we, after being delivered in our worship, we emotionless? We sing just a little bit. Some people don't even sing. After what he has done for us, we emotionless. Well, let's get back to Judas. Let's turn to John chapter 13, verse number 1. John chapter 13, those who have God forgiven much, he said they love more. They just spoke to me. John 13, verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he shall depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, those disciples, he loved his own which were in the world. He loved them until the end. And suffer being ended, the devil have now put into the heart of Judas to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he raised from the supper, and he laid aside his garments, and Jesus took a towel, and he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel therewith he girded. Jesus knew the hour was at hand for him to be betrayed by Judas, and what did he do? He gets on his hands and knees, and he washed Judas's feet. That's real love. Do you remember the Pharisee that was in the house when the lady was washing his feet? She said, why are you letting that woman touch him? She's a sinner. But yet we got Jesus. He's on his hands and knees washing the feet of his backstabber. That's real love. Jesus said in Luke 6:27, but I say unto you, love your enemy. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. It's easy to show love to your friends. It's very easy to do that. But Jesus demonstrating real love. He's loving his enemy. He's not loving their behavior, but he's seeking to save them. See, God so loved this world. What did he do? This was a crazy world, sinful world. He so loved this world, he sent his son to save it. When Jesus was on the cross, men were throwing rocks at him. They were spitting on him. What did he do? He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's real love. That's real love. They know not what they do. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Let's get back to Judas. Matthew 26. Verse number 14. Matthew 26, verse number 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver Jesus unto you. And said unto them, and they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought the opportunity to betray him. Now let's drop down to verse number 20. Now when the evening was come, Jesus sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. They were shook. And they began, every one of them, to ask, Lord, is it I? Everyone, Lord, hold up, is it me, Lord? Is it me? I'm going to betray you. See, Jesus was so clever. He got each and every last one of them to examine himself. Is it I? Is it I, Lord? See, what I want you to do right now, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Is it I, Lord? Have you been a friend of Jesus? Or are you a backstabber? Think about it. Have you been a friend of Jesus for real, though? Have you? John 15, verse number 14. Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. Have you been obeying Jesus' commandments? On the real tip. 1 John 2:3 says, in order for you to even know Jesus, hereby you know that you know me when you keep my commandments. So do you even know him? Well, let's drop down to verse number 23. Verse number 23. And he answered and said, this is what Jesus said. After they said, Lord, is it I? Jesus answered and said, he that dip his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes every written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Woe unto him, which means that Judas, you will be very miserable within yourself. Woe to that man. It is good for that man if he had not been born. Now listen to this verse. But then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Last. Out of everybody else, he laughs because out of guilt. Master, is it I? Out of guilt. Is it I, Master, that will betray you? Let's drop down to verse number 47. And while Jesus yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And now he that betrayed him gave them a sign. He said, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he whom you hold. Well, pretty much, when I kiss him, that's your sign. And forthwith, he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, Judas said, Master, hail, Master, and kissed him. He kissed Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Friend, Jesus said to Judas, wherefore art thou come? And behold, they then held him, they arrested him, and they took him. But out of every way to betray someone, you can push someone down, they'll put him in jail. You can punch somebody in the face, you can betray them that way. But Judas betrayed him with a kiss. How fake is that? On one hand, you're kissing him to show love. On the other hand, you're betraying him. How phony is that? A key verse that speaks to me again, that goes right hand in hand with this. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So a friend could tell you some stuff that you don't want to hear. You need to get yourself together. That's a friend. Proverbs 27, number 6. But then at the end of that verse, it says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Wow. He betrayed him with a kiss. Now, Judas was a fake friend showing fake love. Let's flip over to chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed Jesus, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented himself. You see that? He repented himself. That word repent in the Greek is melomelomai, which means he regretted. He didn't repent like we are supposed to repent by changing spiritually. He just regretted what he had did. He regretted. It said that he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver that they gave him to the chief priest. He tried to return the money back. He's saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what they got to do with us, pretty much? What are you saying? Go. And he cast the money back into the temple and departed. And then he went and he hung himself. Judas said, I betrayed innocent blood. Judas saw no flaws in Jesus. Now, if there would have been one thing, Judas could have picked that thing that Jesus did wrong and used that as validation of his betrayal. But he couldn't find nothing. He couldn't find one thing. See, all Judas remembered was him walking on the water. He was there. He remembered the feeding of the 5,000. He remembered the blind man's sin. All he could remember and feel is the love of Jesus on his hands and knees, washing his feet. Judas throwing the money back in the temple. He thinking that that's going to give him release, give him some relief from the guilt. No, it don't relieve you from the guilt. See, some people, they make millions. They do it in an ungodly way, and then they try to give money to charities to kind of ease their guilt. No, it don't ease no guilt. See, if Judas truly repented, what he would have done, instead of hanging himself, he would have went to the cross right beside Jesus and hung up there with him. If he truly repented. But he hung himself. Jesus hung on the cross for us. But he did not only hang for us, he hung for his enemies too. John 15, 13, greater love had no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And I can take a step further, even for his enemies. Let me ask you a question. Are you a friend of Jesus? Or are you like Judas? You smile in his face. But deep down inside, you're full of regret. Deep down inside, you're full of hate, envy, and ungodly. Deep down inside. Let me ask you a question. If you're not a Christian, then what are you? If you're not a Christian, what are you? After hearing a lesson like this, or even the gospel on any day, it should prick you in your heart and cause you to believe it. And it should cause you to repent, not like Judas did. Don't repent like he did, regretting what you have did, what you have done, and come in here and say, I'm sorry. No. Repent means to change. Change spiritually. Stop hanging out doing things that you do on a daily basis. That's real repentance. Not coming here saying, I'm sorry. That's Judas repentance. Regretting what you've done. True repentance. Changing your soul and your mind for that which is good. It should cause you to repent. You can come today and confess before witnesses, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know I had to do it. It was in front of a lot of people, but you know what? I wasn't ashamed. I came, I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And every Christian in here did that. You don't have to be afraid to do that. See, Jesus said, Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Look, yeah, this is my friend. He'll let you right in the gates. So you can come here. It's okay. You don't have to be embarrassed. You can confess him before men and get baptized for the remission of your sins. And Jesus said, I will no longer call you a servant or a slave. I will call you my friend, John 15:15. Well, maybe you're already a Christian. You have been born again, but just like Esau, you have sold your birthright to the world for the gratification of your flesh. Maybe you can come today and rededicate yourself while together we stand and sing.